Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. The Arctic, the Antarctic. It might surprise you to learn that the People's Republic of China believes that it has work to do in the Arctic and Antarctic as a polar state, a near polar state, a near Arctic state. There are many ways to express this. However, you're right. You're quite right when you look at your map and say, hey, China's in the middle, nowhere near either of the poles. I welcome Alex Gray to help us how we get to this interpretation. Alex is former National Security Council, now at the American Foreign Policy Council. He has a new book coming out soon enough about the U.S. policy in the Pacific Islands, but we're going to the Arctic. The Arctic is said to be melting. Worst case scenario, Alex. So what is China's claim? What is it based on? What piece of lawfare are they working up to? Good evening to you.
Well, thanks for having me, John and Gordon. This is the playbook that the Chinese Communist Party has run time and time again. We see it all over the world. And now it's in the Arctic, and they have passed laws, domestic laws, that give them, in their mind, legitimacy to make claims on both the Antarctic and the Arctic. They've decided through speeches that President Xi Jinping, General Secretary Xi Jinping, has made that to declare themselves near Arctic power and to call themselves a polar great power. And then they've structured their domestic laws and their military doctrine and their statecraft to follow those pronouncements. And now we're seeing action. We're seeing building a nuclear powered icebreaker fleet that'll give them significant access to both poles. We're seeing in the Antarctic, particularly building more bases and runways to give them year-round access to the southern continent. And we're seeing increasing militarization. We're seeing using PLA officers in the Antarctic, and we're seeing increased intelligence and military interest in the Arctic. So overall, it's the typical CCP playbook coming to a pole near you.
Gordon, you have a question for our colleague, Alex.
Alex, Russia is indeed an Arctic state. Is China and Russia working together, or are they competing with each other in the Arctic?
Well, Gordon, this is one of the areas where those of us, myself included, who think that the medium to long-term trajectory of Chinese-Russian relations is going to be one of competition, see the Arctic as a place where that competition is most likely to emerge. I strongly believe that over time, China's capabilities, which are vastly superior, industrial capabilities, medium to long-term military capabilities, are going to be vastly superior to Russia's, even in a place like the Arctic, where the Russians have more proximity. I think that the threat they're going to be able to pose to predominance there is real. I think that the Russians sense that. They've certainly uttered some pronouncements about cooperation. I have not seen anything either in government or sense that led me to believe there was real tangible cooperation. And I think the likelihood is that the Russians are very concerned in the next 5-10 years where their position in the far north is very much threatened by China. And I think that's a wedge that the United States should be very much aware of.
Gordon, this is a puzzle. There really is an Arctic Council, and it's made up of intergovernmental agencies. And I'll read the list. Canada, Denmark, representing Greenland, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Russia, Sweden, United States. Okay, I have a map of the world in my brain. Everybody does. That makes sense. How does China elbow its way into this, Gordon? Where Is it welcomed at the Arctic Council? Have they left a seat open for China?
I think that China has sort of gotten observer status on the Arctic Council, but clearly it is not an Arctic state. And as Alex has just talked about, there is competition here. China sitting on the Arctic Council as an observer, I think, is sort of a leftover of a failed engagement strategy, where the United States tried to bring China into all sorts of multilateral organizations that China basically had no business being in.
Yes, there is an observer status, but it's shared with nations like Singapore or Switzerland or India. Again, these are equatorial or near temperate zone nations. Alex, that's a puzzle. Is there a ruling and a referee, a sense of disorder here if China is trying to elbow its way in to be a member of the Arctic Council, quite separate from, say, Italy or Japan?
Well, John, this is what the Chinese have done in multiple international organizations. They use the international rules of the road, and they subvert them from within. So I have real concerns about them having observer status on the council, because I've watched what they've done in Antarctica, where they're a signatory to the Antarctic Treaty, and they have violated time and time again the requirements of the Antarctic Treaty. For instance, the Antarctic Treaty, which preserves Antarctica as basically a global national park, no military activity, no extractive economic activity. The Chinese have gone in violation of the Antarctic Treaty that they've signed. They are using PLA military officers to man their scientific bases, and then they're not notifying their fellow signatories that they're doing this, which is a massive violation, not just of the writ of the treaty, but the intent of the treaty. They're also doing it on the environmental side in the Antarctic, where they've decided that they're going to make an entirely fantastical interpretation of the Madrid Protocol to the Antarctic Treaty. The Madrid Protocol specifies you can have no mining on in the southern continent. And the Chinese Communist Party has come out and said, well, actually, contrary to what anyone else who's ever read that protocol says, it's going to expire in 2049. So maybe at that point we can do extractive mining. Totally farcical interpretation of that international protocol, laying the predicate to undermine that environmental protection from within, to get the camel's nose in the tent and to begin extracting resources and undermining that international order. So we've seen this playbook time and time again, including in the South Pole.
Gordon, we have a little over a minute. Go ahead.
Alex, you wrote an important article on the 1945 site about China's seabed exploitation. It sounds like China's diplomacy with regard to the Antarctic is very much a replay of what they're doing on the seabed, right?
It's the exact same playbook. Domestic laws that seek to give China jurisdiction over parts of the seabed for which they have no legitimate international claim. Efforts to then exploit economic resources to which they have no entitlement. And then I think most concerning, a military component to what they're trying to do on the seabed, which is to use undersea exploration as a stalking horse, not just to get at potential rare earth elements or energy resources, but to map the seabed potentially as a way to gain an advantage in the undersea warfare domain against the United States. And that's why we've seen Chinese research vessels mapping the floor off of places like Palau in the freely associated states, and even Guam and the Northern Mariana Islands, pushing farther and farther into the Pacific. It's a real problem. This is the playbook we see time and time again. And the U.S. needs to be much more vigilant that if we take our eye off of this, we will lose not just the resource game, but we'll also have a significant military disadvantage as well.
Alex Gray, formerly National Security Council, now at the American Foreign Policy Council, his new book later this year about the U.S. and its policies in the Pacific Islands. The logic of what Alex and Gordon present is that moon colony at the South Pole, the moon, color it Red China. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.